2 Corinthians chapter 4, look with me starting at verse number 1. Notice the Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. How many of you love every word in the Bible? Two of you. How many of you love every word? Okay, I know that you do. I love that third two-letter word, we. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, I like to call it my we group. Every one of you have one. It's that group of people that you like to be around comfortably. You don't feel out of place with them. You're familiar with the topic of discussion. You would know statistics in regards to what you're together for. For some of you, it might be antiques. For some of you, it might be coins. For some of you, it might be hunting. For some of you, it might be guns. For some of you, it might be shoes. The lady's in there somewhere. I don't know what it is for you, but it's a group that you're comfortable with. I like to call it your we group. And I don't know what yours is, but I know what mine is. And it's this group right here. I'd rather be around God's people in God's house, even if we have to come in wearing a face mask, than any other place that I could possibly be. Amen. It is wonderful, wonderful being able to assemble ourselves together in the church house. Thank God for it. We probably appreciate it more right now than maybe we ever have in our lifetime, right? We've gone through some time where we couldn't do it. There's still numbers of places that are not doing it. Still lots of places are canceling. I had a missions conference that I was supposed to be at in 2 weeks, just canceled yesterday. Still numbers of places that are just not able to do it. But what a blessing to be able to assemble. And if you like this group as much as I do, then the rest of verse 1 is going to make sense to you. But if you struggle with this group, if it's, yeah, I come, I enjoy being in church, but it's just something that I do, you might not enjoy verse 1 quite as much as what I want you to. But I'm going to say this is a Sunday night. Probably everybody in here, you love being around God's people. Say amen if you do. Amen. Amen. Now, with that in mind, look at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we, you love the we, your we group being your church friends, your church people, have this ministry. If you love it that much, you'll want to have a ministry. You'll want to get involved in the service. You say, what does this have to do with missions? It has everything to do with missions. Because I fully believe that in my lifetime, I'm probably not going to see the completion of every person having a Bible in their heart language in the world. I probably won't see it in my lifetime. It'd be amazing if we could. And maybe. But I do believe there's a number of young people in here that will. In fact, if you are under 16 years of age, under 16, would you just stand? Under 16. Go ahead. Under 16. Wonderful. In fact, I'm going to take that one step further. Will you come here? Just come up here and stand right here in front real quick. Just come. Just right down here. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Some of you are saying, preacher, you really think, I mean, look around. Do you think there's enough things in this church for all of us to have a ministry? Yeah. I promise you, if you go to Pastor Chris and say, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart tonight and I think I'd like to get more involved. Do you have an idea? It would take him about that long to give you a list of possibilities. Am I right, preacher? There's plenty. But could I just key in on two just for a moment? One is one that all of you can do. Everybody can be involved in this. In fact, just look up here if you would. All of you, just go ahead and look up here. I know it's not the best, but go ahead and look up here. It's okay. All right? Everybody do this. Everybody. Okay. You know that can be your ministry? You say, how can that be my ministry? I promise you, when your pastor, whoever's at the pulpit, is preaching, if every now and then they see somebody do, now, not this. But if every now and then they see you do this and they know that you're on board, you're encouraging that pastor. You're encouraging that preacher. You might not be somebody that likes to say amen out loud. You might not be very vocal in the way that you praise the Lord, but a nod of the head can be your ministry of encouragement that would do more than you could ever imagine. But right here is your next one. Right here. Look with me at verse number 1. And notice the end of it that says, we have this ministry as we have received mercy. We faint not. Where did we ever get to the place where all of a sudden we hit an age where we're done? I've done it now for however many years. I've been involved in choir and nursery and deacon and usher, and you go through the whole list, and it's time for me to step aside and let somebody else do it. Where do we have that in here? Where do we have that in the Word of God to step aside? You say, well, preacher, I just don't know what I can do. Can I, as politely as I can possibly, say this to you? I love old people. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I am one. But I do. And if you don't think they do, you're wrong. And your ministry of faithfulness and coming alongside one of these young people, just one of them, and mentoring them to love God like you love God at your age when they get there, could be the greatest ministry that you have. Could further missions more than anything else could further it in this church. Let me ask it to you this way. How many of you love this? I don't mean how many of you love it. I mean, how many of you, oh, how love I thy law? I mean, you love it. What are the chances of any one of these young people here, 16 years of age and younger, loving this book like you do when they become your age? What are the chances? I don't have a statistic to give that. But I promise you it's slim to none. Certainly not the King James Bible. But just the Bible itself. With all the pressure that's going on today to try to stamp it out, though we know that's absolutely impossible. With all the pressure to try to eliminate it from our society, though we know that's never going to happen. If they don't love it at this age, how are they going to love it at yours? Let me take it a step further. How many of you love this? Church. I mean, love church. How many of you really, you love church? I am overboard on love with church. I'm crazy ridiculous about my love for church. I love to pull into the parking lot of a church. I do. I love to sit in the parking lot and watch people pull in and get out of their car and head for the door. I love that. You say, why? What other parking lot can you pull into and know that someone's going to get out of their car, go in, and maybe come back completely different than what they were when they went in? That doesn't happen at Walmart. Maybe. But not in the right way. I love it. I love to walk in the auditorium. I love to just step in the door and just listen to healthy conversation. You're not listening to cursing. You're not listening to wickedness. You're not being blared out with ridiculous music if you're in the right church. Amen? It's an amazing thing. I like the pulpit. I like the lights. I like the seats. I like the choir member, the choir loft. I like the offering place. I love church. Will they? Anyway. I don't know why. You're kind of speaking to my heart. Will you come here for a second? You. Yeah. Did I get the wrong one? Chris, tell me if I should set him down. This isn't your boy, is it? Okay. You don't have one this age, do you? Okay. Am I okay? You're not going to hit me or anything, are you? Okay. I care. I absolutely care. Because if he doesn't love this place, right now as much as you do, he could. If one of you would just come alongside him. Just spend a little time with him. Just let him know. Not only that you're here and that you love it, but why you love it. Mentor him. Pour yourself into him. Give him a reason to love the book. You say, how do I do that? Just come 5 minutes early. Just walk up and sit down next to him. If he's talking to his girlfriend, he'll wait. It'll be okay. And say, hey, did you see this verse? You say, what verse? It doesn't matter. Open it anywhere. They all work. Amen? Every one of them works. And just read it to him. Give him a reason to love the book. Give him a reason to love church. How about the hymn book? Do you love the hymn book? Do you love the hymns? Do you love Amazing Grace? The Old Rugged Cross? Victory in Jesus? Power in the Blood? Amen? Amen. What are the chances that one of these young people in 20 years from now, if they're still in church, will still be singing hymns? Most churches don't even have the books anymore. A large percentage of churches, they don't even have the hymn books anymore. They're not in the church. They're not in the seats. They're not in the pews. They're not even there. It's whatever you get on the screen. I know you're big time musical. I appreciate it much. I'm not against this. I know that right now this is a lot to do with the pandemic and virus thing. I understand all of that. But there's numbers of churches that it's all that there is. It's never take your songbook and turn to. Even if they said it, there wouldn't be one there. I approached one, a guy, I didn't even know him. It's probably a dumb thing for me to do, but once you get to a certain age, you can get away with things. And they were doing the thing, you know, singing the hymns off of the wall, and I said, he was a choir director. I said, will you do me a favor? I'm going to be here tonight. What time do you have choir practice? He said, 5. I said, I'm going to be there. I want to listen to you. And will you do your entire choir practice off of the wall? Just with the words. He said, no. I said, why not? He said, well, how would they learn parts? How would they get all the harmonies? How would they? I said, exactly. So why are you expecting the church congregation to do that? We lose so much by not using the hymn book. And this is here. I'm trying to get you to see it from this perspective here. I'm going to go out on a limb and say right now, if you were to do a survey of this number, if you could get them all by themselves and they would be honest, probably most of them would say, I don't know if it matters to me if we sing praise and worship or if we sing hymns. It does matter. I'm not against praise and worship, but I'm against no hymns. Amen? Are you at all on board with what I'm trying to see out of verse number 1? If you love this ministry that much, get one. Use the gift, the talent, the ability that God has given to you and pour it into someone else. You say, who? Take your pick. There's plenty here. Maybe right now the Lord's doing that in your heart. Maybe right now the Lord is kind of impressing you as you look at a particular one. You're going, yeah. Absolutely, I can do that. And I don't know who will take this one. You haven't ever surrendered to ministry, have you? Let me ask you, how old are you? 15 or 15?
15.
15, okay. I want to ask you, be completely honest. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, okay? Do your parents go here? Where are they? Mom, Dad. Where are you, Mom, Dad? Oh, way in the back. A lot more exciting things up here in the front. But anyway. If God were to impress upon your heart that he wanted you to be a missionary, what would you say to God? Be completely honest. You don't know. See there? I appreciate that honesty. Now watch this. Watch. You. Will you come here? No. Well, both of you can come. It's fine. Because it'll work with both of you, I promise. How old are you? 9. And is this your sister? Pretty good guess, huh? And how old are you? What? 6. Okay. Now, both of you, if God were to impress upon your heart that he wanted you to be a missionary, what would you say to God? Say it so they can hear you. Can you hear him? It's not even a hesitation. It's just yes. From how old? 6 to 15. What happened? This is nothing against you. Don't even take it that way. I'm not saying that. I don't believe even every person is called to be a missionary. Are you with me on that? I do not believe every person is called to be a missionary. But I do believe every person should struggle as to why not. So it's not a matter of if God were to call you. It's a matter of you saying, Lord, would you let me go? Would you let me be involved in getting the Bible where it's never been before? Can you see the difference? It's a big difference. And there's a good chance. I have no idea. I'm not a prophet. Don't even believe in that kind of stuff. God's going to do something here. I believe it. And that's exciting. And here. And there. And there. And right there. And right there. And right there. Take your pick. Amen? Thank you. You can go back. Thank you for helping me. You're a big help tonight. Thank you very much. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Notice the structure of that verse. As we have received mercy. Would all of you agree with me if it weren't for the mercy of God? Where would we be? Where would we be? Mercy, God not giving to us what we deserve. I know what I deserve. It certainly isn't the privilege to be able to stand here in front of an impressive group like this and be able to preach. I don't deserve to even put on the suit. But the mercy of God. And it's almost as if it's tucked right in the middle of the verse. You say, what do you mean? Look at it this way. Therefore, seeing as we have received mercy, we have this ministry. It's almost as if the amount of mercy that we have received dictates the amount of ministry that we are doing, which one wins? Are we anywhere near ministering with the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given to us? Are we anywhere near using that for the glory of God compared to the mercy that God bestows upon us new every day? And then you can look at it the other way. As we have received mercy, we faint not. It's almost as if the amount of mercy that I receive dictates how long I continue. Why is it that the sports world has it figured out and we don't? They do. And they're experiencing it now more than I ever have before. Obviously, there's not a lot of participation at the events. It's all online. It's all television. It's all media and everything. The events are happening with nobody there in the stands and so on. And you know what they're finding out? People are watching the last three innings more than the first. People are watching the last quarter more than the first three. People are watching the last 9 holes more than the first 72. It's a tournament, 4 days tournament. People are watching the last period more than the first three. Why is that? And so they're doing everything they can to kind of boost it up to where people are involved in the whole event. They're not worried about the end. It's covered. We're worried about the end. In our churches, we're worried. I'm going way off base. There's numbers of folks here that's in the older category, numbers of you. And if I could just encourage you tonight, it'll be well worth my drive over here. Because there's numbers of you that feel like you're just kind of done. Can I say you're not? Just your faithfulness is not. I pastored for 25 years. And I know exactly what it's like to pastor in Michigan. With the weather that we get in Michigan, I know exactly what it's like that the snowstorms and the ice always come Sunday afternoon. I don't know why, but it always does. And it starts at 2 or 3 o'clock, so you have to try to figure out, can we have church or do we have to cancel church? And when you have church, every time, without fail, never changes. There's a number of those people. 80-year-olds. They're there. They leave their house 2 hours early if they have to get there. But the weather's not going to stop them. And they have their seat. Man, you better not sit in it. As somebody who experiences that every week of my life, you always go into a place brand new. You don't know anybody, don't know anybody's seats or whatever. It's a dangerous thing, I promise you. And so the way to get around that is just sit up here. It's always open. But you're in your seat. And the song leader gets up and says, let's stand and turn the page. You have no business standing. They're on the second or third verse before you finally get up. But you do. You get up. No one's keeping you down. And while you're getting up, you don't have to look. You don't have to look at the words. You know every verse of every song in the hymn book by memory. The preacher says, take your Bible and turn to. And you don't take your Bible and turn to like most people. You take your Bible and it's one turn and boom, you're there. You don't have to look at the index. You don't have to figure out if it's before Matthew or after Matthew. You know where it is. And the people that are sitting next to you see that. And they glance over and they look at your Bible and they see that it's well used because it's all marked up and obviously tear stained and you love it. Don't think that people don't notice. Don't think that people don't notice you. And your ministry is speaking even though you're silent because you're faithful. The preacher gets done and he offers the invitation. And you don't put your Bible down. You kind of get it in a place where you can hang on to it. And you start your way forward. It might take you a couple of verses before you ever get there, but you get there. Nobody can keep you from the invitation. Nobody can keep you from the altar. And I watch this, and I'll be sitting in the front row because the pastor might be doing the invitation, or I'll be doing the invitation, and I watch it, and I think to myself, oh, my soul. They just speak to my heart. And then they kneel, and I go, you don't have to kneel. I know that you're in so much pain. But you can't. We couldn't keep you up if we had to. You're kneeling before a holy God. If you think that that group that was right here does not notice that, and I know you're not doing it for them to notice that, but they are. And you're mentoring them, and you don't even know it. Why? Because you faint not. That wall right there. I remember the day Brother Arrowwood let me know that you folks were going to start supporting us as missionary family, and I knew that our picture was going to go on that wall. And I said to myself, oh, my soul, what a blessing. And I think to myself, I'm 63. I started this adventure when I was 53. And I wonder how strong missions is going to be in 10 more years. If those of you that love it as much as you do, don't give them a reason to love it also.